Tampa Bay's TAN Talk. Entertaining and informative radio for the Sunshine State.
It's time for the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection on the Tampa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network. Live from the Ferg Sports Bar and Grill Studios, across from Tropicana Field in downtown St. Petersburg, Florida. Providing a positive perspective from the peewees to the preps and the pros across Tampa Bay and the USA. Get your head in the game with the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection and your hosts, Mike Rickard and Ben Botham.
Good afternoon and welcome to hour number two of the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection. We're live from Ferg Sports Bar and Grill. We've got over 105 televisions down here, and that's the number these days. Any college game you want to watch, come on down. We'll tune it in for you. Of course, we're the Florida State's watch parties. We're the Alabama, Michigan, my Iowa Hawkeyes, unfortunately, and just a lot of great college action. Tomorrow, we got the Bucks. Bucks doing battle with the Texans. That's a 1 o'clock kick. Come on down. It's always a blast, or whatever NFL team you happen to be a fan of. Come on down to Ferg's Sports Bar and Grill. Had a nice conversation with the Eckerd Tritons. They were kind enough to get out of bed on a Saturday before their first game next week. They play Benedict. Great guys. Love their program over there at Eckerd College. Well, it looked like it was old home week as Eckerd was departing. This next group of people, the guests from Shortcrest Pep, they how'd you know Coach?
Oh, Coach. They use our gym every year. Eckerd, we host them on our campus, and they have a basketball camp there annually.
Oh yeah,
I met Kemp Coach during the summer, and we kicked it off, and we really hit it off and been friends ever since.
Well, he's Anthony McCall, and he's brought the Shortcrest Prep Chargers to the house. I love your swag, fellas. The green and gold, I guess. The Packers colors, if I can describe them for you folks. They play eight man over there, and kind enough to come on down. Who is the bodyguard here that's directing traffic? We need to recognize this beautiful lady.
This beautiful lady is my wife, Dolores.
Dolores.
36 years.
Holy moly. Congratulations. Thank you for coming down and making sure that these guys are all buttoned down. They look great. And actually, I will say this. You guys are the freshest, most buttoned down team I've had in 3 years down here. I mean that. Bravo.
Thank you.
Crisp and clean. Look like you could go right out to the golf course at the country club, and Coach is your golf coach.
I don't know how that would go over.
Well, I know how it goes with me. Not very good. So, Coach, let's get a little bio on you for our audience that's not familiar with. We got Brad on hold. He'll ask some questions, but I want to get to know you a little bit.
Well, I grew up in Montgomery, Alabama. Was fortunate enough to play for Coach Patrick Dye at Auburn University in the mid-'80s.
A legend.
Yes, he is. The best ever in the SEC. Remember that.
Remember that. Feel like you're talking to Charles Barkley. Remember that.
No. Coached at a school called the Montgomery Academy, which would be the Shortcrest of Montgomery, Alabama for 20-plus years. Moved here, my wife and I, to Shortcrest in 2018. Took over football in 2019, and been fortunate to coach a group of kids like the ones who are before you right now.
Talk about what type of school Shortcrest is for our audience that's not familiar with Shortcrest.
It's a college prep school, and in my opinion, it's the best education that you would get in Pinellas County.
Well, from what I'm gathering, just from the eyeball perspective, it seems to be working.
Yes, this is a good group, but I handpicked this group this morning, and this is a good one.
So none of you knew this until this morning?
He told us like probably 2 or 3 days ago that we had to show up at Ferg's at 11:30. We didn't really know much about it, but glad we're here.
No, he didn't say you had to. He said you get to.
Yes, we get to.
You get to. Come on, man.
Of course.
Here at Ferg's, as you grow older and you live in the area, you're going to want to come down here and watch your favorite team and have some of our world-class wings.
I'm excited for that.
Okay.
That would be great.
All right. So where are the kids from? All over the area? All over the country? Where do you get your kids?
No. They're local kids.
Beautiful. I like to hear that.
I think one Are you a 13? Are you on the way to being 13-year guy, Wes? Or when did you start preschool?
No.
Oh, so you can come in at PK all the way through?
Yeah, Shorecrest is pre-K.
Bravo, man.
Pre-K through 12. So kids who do that from pre-K through 12 are called 15-year kids or lifers.
All right. Well, let's get to Brad Richardson. He's got some questions for you, Coach. And sure. Let's rock and roll.
Sure.
Hey, guys. Can you hear me?
Yes, Brad. How are you?
Good. Good to hear from you again, Coach. Hey, guys. Welcome to being on the show and all. I think it's time to meet the players for all that's listening there and all. Let's just start at the end. The guy that's sitting to the right of Mike, going on down. Introduce yourselves, what year you are in high school, and the position you play.
Good morning. My name is Enrique Negron.
Great voice.
I'm a junior, and I play defensive end, middle linebacker, and tight end.
Oh, awesome. Enrique, who's up next?
My name is Nick Bearden, quarterback, junior year. I play, quarterback, wide receiver, corner.
Awesome, awesome. Cool, Ashley. Who's up now? Come on. Speak up, guys. Be excited. You're on the air.
My name is Ben Warman. I'm a senior, and I play middle linebacker.
Awesome.
My name is Wes Ryan. I'm a tight end and defensive end, and I'm a junior.
Awesome. And last, but certainly not least.
Hi, my name is Cooper Phillips. I'm a senior. I play left tackle, interior, exterior D-line. I punt, and I snap for the kicker.
Awesome. Another great. All right. So, once again, player.
Oh, yeah. Well-rounded.
Yeah, absolutely, and all that. So, hey, guys. So, actually, let's just start with you, Coach McCall. So, as Mike said, you took over the program in 2018. You showed up in 2018. 2019, you took over the program. With all your years of knowledge as a coach, what were some of the things that you wanted instilled into these players to make them a championship team once again? I mean, Shorecrest football has a fantastic legacy in football around Pinellas County.
I'll just say discipline and consistency. And biggest thing is being true to who you are. And that's what we try to make sure that we're doing at Shorecrest. I think our staple is running the football. And there's some things that you have to do to be successful to do that. And we try to make sure the things that we do every day basically bring us back to what we do well. But again, I go back to just make sure we're instilling some discipline. And my main thing is always to try to augment what parents are doing at home. We want these young men not to just be good football players, but to be good citizens. And I kid them from time to time saying that they're model citizens, but really, I really do mean that from what I'm getting from these guys. But at the end of the day, winning games will take care of itself, Brad. But if we're not instilling the right things in these guys to help them to be better people, I think we're spinning our wheels and not doing the things that we've really been put here to do as far as coaches.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know what, you talk about success. I mean, let's face it, the success that you've instilled in these guys, it's gotten you back to, you gotten them to back-to-back state championships in Sunshine State Golf. Last season, you did beat Donahoe Academy. This is to the players. Actually, any of you guys, actually, just by show of hands, or actually, just you have to describe it to me, Coach. How many players on the team have been on these two championship teams? How many players with you have been on the team?
Oh, four of them.
We got four. It took me a while to count. I had to go like this.
It's all good. All right. So, yeah, any of you guys?
All of them have been on the championship team.
All of them have. All right, cool. Yeah. So here's my question to these guys. You know, any of you can answer. What is it like to play in a state championship game? I mean, what is that feeling, the atmosphere like?
It's a different kind of feeling. Like, it's really exciting to be out there, and it's just weird to like go out on that field and like in the big stadium, and it's just a different kind of feeling, and it's a different kind of excitement that you don't get from anything else.
Awesome, awesome. What else? Who else can answer that?
I speak for myself. It just really makes me feel confident and excited when I walk up on the field, all the fans cheering for us. You know, we get the ball at 25 or we start at 25, just ready to hit somebody or score on the first drive. It's just a different type of feeling.
Absolutely, and all that. So now, guys, I actually have a question for you. So obviously you've had a lot of very good seasons and all that, but I want to go back to a tradition that it happens at each Shorecrest game after each home win. Could you please describe, any of you can describe this, what is a tradition at Shorecrest Prep after a home game win? I thought it involves like a bell. Is that right?
Well, I think I need to address this because we discontinued that tradition.
Oh, no.
These guys, yeah. We had an accident with the bell, my first year in 2018. So these guys were some of them were not there, Brad, at the time.
Oh.
When we were doing that. So they are not equipped to answer that question because we discontinued that tradition, sir.
Bellless.
Yeah, we used to ring a bell after every home win. But again, there was an accident with one of our players, so Brad, we know
that.
Yes, we no longer have that tradition. We don't honor that anymore.
Well, you still celebrate plenty, I'm sure, fellas, right? Not to worry about that. Don't need a bell to celebrate when you go to state championships, I guarantee you. There's probably people at home ringing bells for you as they listen to the broadcast or after they watch the games.
So anyway, all right, so any of you guys here, I talked to you guys before the show. You know, I'm one of those that, you know, everybody is watching, all your friends and family. You know, a lot of you guys have social media. So I want to know, between Instagram, Snapchat, whatever, you guys definitely have some big highlights. Each individual one of you does. Just going down, what would you guys say would be, you know, a number one highlight that you want everybody to see during the season? Go ahead. We'll start. Start with you, man. First guy up. Just introduce your name, too, so that way we know who we're talking to again.
I play a lot of positions on the field, but, you know, sometimes the O-line and D-line don't get all the love, so my time to shine in the spotlight is usually with punting. So I'd have to say my highlight is my 61-yard punt against Lake Mary Prep.
61-yarder? That's college material, young man.
I think maybe my main highlight could have came last night. I had a pretty cool catch over like three guys. It hurt pretty bad on the landing, but I think it was worth it.
You're still smiling this morning, thinking about it.
Yeah.
Good for a first down.
I think my favorite highlight came in the first game of the season against Ocala Christian, when I ran behind the line of scrimmage and grabbed the running back and then suplexed him and picked him up and slammed him, and that is my favorite play of the season by far.
You picked him up and slammed him. No flag?
Yes, there was a flag.
That's his favorite bad guy memory. That's a typical linebacker response. Yeah, I slammed him down. He didn't get up. That's my best memory. Get a flag? Well, actually, got kicked out of the game. No, that's classic, young man. That's one for our archives.
I definitely got my favorite highlight of the year so far was against Academy at the Lakes. I had a one-handed pick, and it was pretty cool. I said that's definitely my favorite.
Very cool.
What else?
For myself, I honestly think my highlight of this year is my pick six against Lake Mary Prep. I was coming off the line, and the quarterback threw the ball, and I hit up in the air, and I caught it, and I ran it for a touchdown.
So basically a pick six, if you will.
Yeah, pick six.
Good for you. Bravo, man. How far did you have to take the rock after that?
25 yards.
Oh, just a quick little sprint. A quick little sprint, 6 points.
Awesome.
Bradley?
All right, so anyway, you know, it's interesting with a lot of these guys, especially with schools. You know, me and Mike, we have a big respect for multi-sport athletes. With your athletes that are here today, how many of you guys play other sports? I mean, how many of you guys play football, basketball, even baseball? Any of you guys here play other sports at the school?
Multi-sport athlete. Go ahead.
I'm Cooper, the senior. I play a sport every season. It's always football and baseball, but winter might change this year. I played basketball this year, and we'll see what I play this year. But
you look like a hoopster.
I'm not the best, but I try.
Well, just get out there and play. That's the bottom line, right?
That's right. I play basketball and baseball as well, and baseball is probably my other main one. But basketball is fun as well. I like playing basketball.
What's your favorite of the three?
That's
now. Don't coach isn't here.
That's a tough one.
He's going to be a politician.
You know, it depends on the day. It depends on the day.
Good answer.
Plus, it's tough when you're good at more than one.
Yeah, there you go. That's the answer, right, Coach? All right, young man. Probably a sport where you can take somebody down in.
I don't play the other school sports, but I do MMA fighting. Yeah.
Imagine that.
You're right.
You and I get along great. I spent 30-some years in the boxing world. We probably have a lot in common. I'm going to tell you what not to do. All right, young man.
In addition to football, I play track and basketball during the school year and over the summer.
I like hearing that answer, track. Track should be on everybody's agenda, but it's not, because I'm a guy that ran track in the college, but it's great for the other sports too. Yeah.
All righty. Well, hey, Mike, I think it's time for you. Oh, go ahead.
Hey, we got one more. Come on, man.
One more. Go for it, man. Sorry about that.
Besides playing football, I play basketball and track as well, and I used to play baseball, but I think I retired from that.
Yeah, thank goodness.
Well, I tell you what, I absolutely love the fact that you guys are realizing that participation in multi-sport athlete are great memories, right, Coach? They're going to succeed from.
Yes.
Now it's time for my crazy questions, if that's okay. I'm going to start here at the left. You don't need the headphones for this one. My big mouth's right in front of you. Got a girlfriend? You do?
Speak up.
You better speak up. You better do a shout out to her.
I do. Yeah, I do.
Her name?
Kate Craig.
Okay. Now shout out at home.
My parents, Don Phillips. My mom, Lisa Ellis. My mom's in North Carolina, where I lived with her for 14 years, and my dad's doing something today. I don't know, but he wasn't home when I got up this morning.
Well, a shout out to them. You have a very nice and nice young man. Speak a little louder and on these next questions. Favorite college football team?
Probably Bama, Alabama.
You can go home anytime. You can go home anytime you want. No, and favorite NFL team?
I want to say the Panthers because I lived there for 14 years.
Oh, that makes sense.
But I tend to go with the place I live, so right now probably the Buccaneers.
Bandwagon rider. All right. So, young man, girlfriend?
No girlfriend right now.
Bravo. Congratulations.
Thank you.
No offense to the girlfriend here, because you're obviously having success, but Coach wants you focused.
Yep.
You got plenty of time.
Amen.
She's not here. You got plenty of time for the ladies down the road. All right, so your favorite college team?
Probably Florida Gators.
Gators? They played today. Oh, we almost forgot the fam. Can't do that.
Yeah, I got to shout out my mom and my dad.
Their names?
Candace and Courtney Ryan.
Well, your son's been smiling since he got here. He seems like a great young man. And your favorite NFL team?
The Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Everybody kind of hesitates these days now that they're not winning. Yeah, I guess it's the Bucks. All right, I can't wait for this answer. Got a girlfriend?
No, sir.
Sure you don't. No, man. My man. All right. It got me off track now. Your shout out to the family.
I would love to give a shout out to my mom, Bella. Thank you, Mom. I love you. She's probably listening right now. I also would like to give a shout out to my dog, Reggie, who just turned 13 the other day.
Reggie! Okay. Reggie needs a treat when he gets home. Hey, Della, you've done a great job raising this young man. I just have to give him a bad time because he's got a lot of my traits, unfortunately, or fortunately. In his case, fortunately, he's going to be a success. Your favorite college team?
I would have to say the Seminoles because I'm going there for college.
Well, beautiful. Well, this is Seminole. The owner's a Florida State guy, and the watch party's here.
Go Noles.
Unfortunately, they don't have an MMA team. And your favorite football pros?
Chicago Bears. My family's from Chicago.
Beautiful. No, that explains it. I'm from the Midwest myself, but my daughter lives in Chicago. This is my cat right here. Now. Girlfriend?
I got friends. I ain't got a girlfriend, though.
Good answer.
That's probably my second best answer of all time. This kid from, I think it was from Northeast, said, got a girlfriend? Several. I said, oh, my God, you're in trouble. Several. You got friends. All right. Shout out to anybody at home?
Hey, I'm going to give a shout out to my mama. Love you, mama. She was watching a game from Alabama. And shout out Zach. He got into a fender bender, but it's straight, though.
What's mom's name?
Nolanda. That's my mom's name.
All right. Well, we'll be texting this. Brad will text you. All this is archived on our platform, RadioSaintPete.com, so anybody can listen to it. And this guy's got the best pipes I've ever had on the show. If you ever want a future in radio or broadcasting, get a hold of me. So let's go with girlfriend.
No, sir. I don't have a girlfriend.
So we got three no-shows, friends, and you're the only one that got to get Valentine's cards and you got to get Christmas presents. So shout out to anybody at home.
I want to give a shout out to my ma and my grandma, Alvinita and Bonita. What's it called? They always supported me and always pushing me to do my best, even when I don't really feel like doing it. And they're always just there for me. And I just got to say I love you guys. And I also want to give a shout out to my dad for coming out to my game yesterday and supporting me from Atlanta. And
What's Pop's name?
Lewis. Name after him. My first name is Lewis. So I just got to give a shout out to my dad and give a shout out to my family. I love y'all.
Well, you've got a great young man. Favorite college team?
Alabama. Roll Tide.
What is up with these Alabama? Coach,
I know,
you
got to
get working on this. You got to get working on this. Favorite NFL team?
I don't watch the NFL too much, but I got to say the Buccaneers or Houston.
Well, they played each other tomorrow. You have to flip a coin.
I have to flip a coin.
There you go. Well, Brad, you got any last questions? Ask these young men. What a group of great kids. I tell you what, I'm going to be a big fan of the Shortcrest as you guys get to the state championship this year. Where is the state championship at, Coach?
It will be in Lakeland, Bryant Stadium in Lakeland.
Yeah. So
we have to make it.
I will make it.
We have to get there. We have another
You're
game.
You're going
to
get there. Yes, sir. I'm giving you a connection.
Come on, Coach. Give me a connection. Right, you're going to get there. Guys, do you agree? You're going to get there.
It's basically our home field now.
We have a game
I like
next
that
week,
attitude.
Gentlemen. We do have a game next week. We have to win next week.
One game, said like a coach, one game at a time, and he's right. One practice, one snap, one plan and decision at a time. That's life, too, right, Coach?
That's it.
One step at a time. Live for today. And you guys have very, very bright futures. I can tell that right now. I'm looking forward to anything else you want to shout out to them there, Bradley, before we take a break and send them on their way. They'll be glad to get home and get these polos off.
Well, guys, hey, thank you for coming down today. I know it was last minute. I appreciate you guys being down there and all that. So, once again, I look forward to seeing how you guys do going forward into the playoffs and all. Best of luck to you. Obviously, you're going to be facing Donahoe coming up, if that's correct. Right, Coach?
Yeah, Donahue Catholic out of Naples.
Awesome. All right. Well, hey, guys, thank you for being on here today and all. And I look forward to talking to you guys again sometime soon. So, thank you, Coach. Thank you, guys.
Great job, Bradley. All right. Well, I certainly appreciate you bringing these guys down, Coach. I look forward to coming and watching you guys. I love watching eight man. It's a fun, exciting form. And I was very involved in arena football back in the day.
Oh, okay.
The original team was the Iowa Barnstormers, Kurt Warner and those guys.
Sure.
I did their programs and was heavily immersed. I love that game, and I equate that to what you guys play.
Got it.
In a lot of cases.
Similarities.
Yep, a lot of similarities. Well, good luck next week. You guys are going to get to Lakeland, and we'll be there. And then we'll have you bring more guys down after you win the state championship. You come down here, and we'll have some wings and have some fun.
We'll be all over that if we get there.
You'll get there. All right, we're going to take a break, and that is the Shortcrest Prep. The Chargers in the house, looking good and sounding great, and we appreciate you coming down. We'll be back on the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection Radio Network.
The first quarter is over.
Never show weakness. The only pain that matters is the pain you inflict.
Keep your head in the game with the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection, live from the Clubhouse Studios inside Ferg Sports Bar and Grill.
Are you ready to rock?
On the Tampa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network.
Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection with partner RadioSaintPete.com launched a new sports streaming channel, Florida Sports Stream, on RadioSaintPete.com. Florida Sports Stream provides local and national podcasts, radio shows, live events. The Tampa St. Pete Prep Connection will broadcast Florida high school boys and girls sports
Live play-by-play coverage, media days, award ceremonies, positive stories and content across Champa Bay, Florida, and the USA. From the Pee Wees to the Preps to the Pros, recognizing positive participation in sport and the people that make a difference. Podcasts include NASCAR, Florida Fishing, MMA, Rays, Rowdies, Bucks, Lightning, local media personalities, pickleball, local colleges, FCA Sports, Florida Sports Hall of Fame, and NFL Alumni Tampa. Just a few of the shows and podcasts with dozens on deck. That's Florida Sports Stream on RadioSaintPete.com, supported by Body Armor, Sea Dog Brewery, Ferg Sports Bar and Grill, and Ice Pick Vodka. Take a listen and have a championship day.
What does Sea Dog Brewing and Shipyard Tampa Bay Tailgate have in common? Both are world-class experiences, owned by the same people. Want a great place to spend some time with friends this holiday season? The place to be is Sea Dog Treasure Island, 9610 Gulf Boulevard. Why Sea Dog, you ask? Well, it's locally owned with locally produced brew right here in Florida. It's also a place for fun, food, and drink on the coastal Blind Pass waterfront, Ice Pick draft drinks, Sea Dog Blue Paw, and a Mug Club rewards program. Get all this to go with a family-owned breakfast experience with homemade biscuits and more. Open 8 a.m. to late night. Check it out at treasure.seadogbrewing.com. While there, enter to win Tampa Bay tailgate tickets near Ray J for Bucks home games. Sea Dog Brewing, Treasure Island. It's where Tampa Bay family and friends go to enjoy life from breakfast to late night. 9610 Gulf Boulevard, Shipyard, Sea Dog Brewing. Check it out at treasure.seadogbrewing.com.
Pulling out all the stops of the fourth.
All right, let's go.
Time to bring it home with the dub.
Yeah. Let's get rocking.
Stick to the game plan with the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection live from the Clubhouse Studios inside Ferg Sports Bar and Grill.
Let's rock this joint.
On the Champa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network.
Welcome back to the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection. I want to thank my main man up there on the controls, taking care of business each and every Saturday for us. And, of course, we're on Tan Talk Radio, 106.1 FM, AM 1340. That's our flagship, Clearwater, St. Pete, Tampa. At WZHR, 104.3 FM, AM 1350. And up in Lake City, Gainesville, WDSR, AM 1340. And that's always enjoyable. I enjoy this kid, but what a bunch of class acts. And Coach just told me that three of those young men, And I don't like to put them on the spot right away, John, if the colleges are looking at them yet. We'll get them on later on. But sometimes, you know, some of the kids are. He said, well, four of those kids, major programs are looking at right now. And that's eight players that they're participating in.
Yeah, they're very well-spoken kids and obviously talented. But, yeah, the whole recruiting game, you got to get – you know, your name and your stats and your face in front of people and get to meet them. You know, I think a guy in a World Series was a Division II college player, Fat, for the Arizona Diamondbacks.
Was he a quarterback, too? They kept talking about some player, one of the pitchers was a quarterback, too.
Well, possibly, but he was a D2 player. No one really knew about him, and the only way he came to their attention was because, you know, word of mouth. And they started following him, and sure enough, you know, he got drafted. And who knew he'd be a starting World Series pitcher one day?
Well, and the beauty of that in today's world, though, we've got so much social media. You can get film out there. We're involved with a company called Sports Thread out of Orlando, and it essentially is it's Facebook for athletes. Doesn't cost anything, or an Instagram. They put their and coaches are using those type of tools these days. But I think it's great that these kids are eight player, and they're still getting watched and recognized like the guys playing, you know, the 11-man game.
Yeah, no, it's interesting, and I think their success in the past bears out the fact that you know, it's an excellent program. You know, once these programs develop themselves, it's sort of self-perpetuating. Year after year, they attract talent
because they built a program. And you see that. I went to a Catholic school. My entire upbringing, and you see that rich in tradition programs, and they're heavy in the Northeast. I know that.
Oh, yes. I mean, like Bobby Hurley saying, well, he's no longer. They're gone now, but for decades.
Well, it was their father, wasn't it?
Yes. He was a Jersey City local, and he was actually worked at the school, and he developed the program out from nothing, really. That was a Catholic school. Tiny, tiny Catholic school.
Well, and some of the things that people don't like about it, and in today's climate, it's the haves and the have-nots, unfortunately. And that's why, you know, at the Sports Connection, we try to get the kids from, you know, I just throw these schools out because we know the challenges they have. The Sickles across the bay, the Kings, Gibbs here. You know, they're competing against the CCCs who just went undefeated, Clearwater Catholic. And you've got Jesuit across, you know, Tampa Catholic. You've got Berkeley Prep. That's just in this region. That's what you're up against. One, Miami, Dade County, where the powerhouse has really come on them. You've got St. Thomas Aquinas, that is a national power. They're ranked in the top five in every sport every year.
Florida is a major powerhouse in terms of developing athletes. I think someone did a study. I think it was maybe Baseball Magazine did a study about how many major leaguers per state, you know, per 100,000 people, and Florida ranked number one. It was quite substantial for Major League Baseball players originating from the state.
I got this number out of the Florida Sports Hall of Fame, friends of mine. 95 players have come from the greater Tampa area in Major League Baseball. I think that's a fair number.
Oh, that is off the charts, really, if you think about it. I mean, California, Texas, but Florida's number one. Definitely is number one.
I mean, right now, top of my head, Pete Alonso. I mean, I'm not even, you know, Bichette.
Yeah, no, it's a long list. It's impressive. I mean, you know, the reasons are obvious, right? You can play ball all year round, right? And you know, it's funny because, you know, Chris Mad Dog Russo made a point that, you know.
Have you ever met him?
Along the way, I've met him. But he was on air and he was kind of, there was a lot of talk about, you know, the Rays didn't quite draw enough people in that playoff game, right? And he was like, they shouldn't have baseball in Florida. But baseball is, you know, that's an outlandish statement because baseball is where Florida originates from, really, in a lot of ways.
Well, without a shadow of a doubt, look at spring training. Where it evolved down here. Yeah. And at one time, there wasn't spring ball in Arizona. Wasn't it all down here at the Grapefruit League?
That's right. That's right. So the history is, I mean, if you go to the university at Tampa, I mean, actually Babe Ruth signed his first, one of his big contracts there for the Yankees. It was a hotel. It was a luxury hotel back in those days. But some of that memorabilia is actually there.
Well, straight down the road here, we're on 13th and Central. Down on Park and Central, there is a hotel, and it's called Crystal Bay. And I put up a lot of my athletes down there, some of the media guys that come down for anything from the Detroit market. And that's where the Yankees used to stay when spring training was on this side back in the 20s and 30s. And I always put up, in fact, my buddy's going to be there on Wednesday night, in the Babe Ruth suite. There's all kinds of Babe Ruth stories around here, and there's all kinds of St. Louis Cardinal stories in this area. And I think that Pat Donatelli's got several of them himself as being a kid down here with the Cardinals and the teams like that.
Right, Pat Donatelli, Augie Donatelli, the famous National League umpire's son, who is has been here for decades and decades, most of his adult life, actually. And yeah, he does have a lot of stories, including, well, they lived in Pennsylvania for a period of time, so he got an opportunity to meet Stan the Man Musial, and the list is very long.
Hey, let's do your bio real quick. One more time for this second hour audience, and we didn't talk about the book Augie that you penned. Was that your first? Well, let's go back to your career.
Yeah, no, my background is really not as a author of books, but my background is video production, was radio production for decades in the New York City area. I worked for Major League Baseball Productions. I worked for a company called Phoenix Communications. I've done work for all the many professional sports leagues, the NHL, the NBA, HBO Sports. So you know, it's been a long story of working for different various productions, probably, you know, thousands of hours of different contributing to different programs and so forth.
What was the most difficult to produce?
Well, you know, there was always a grind of doing a weekly show. You know, it was a very talented staff, and I was we worked on multiple shows, and luckily we had some great people back then. You know, I can name a list of a lot of guys, including Roy Epstein, my good friend. But I have to say, the grind of doing a weekly show, because the minute you were done with one, you were again going to another one. And so that was a challenge. And then, you know, I'd have to say that would be it.
As you're having a conversation, I'm thinking about shows down the road. If a topic comes up, I think, oh, I need to get that guy on. You're always thinking ahead.
Yeah.
But then the key is putting the final package together, you know, a day or two before the broadcast is set to air.
Yeah, and you also dealt with some major personalities who had a lot of...
The good, the bad, and the ugly.
The good, the bad. Right, exactly. Eli Wallach, you mentioned that. I actually worked with Eli Wallach, who was the famous actor, worked with Clint Eastwood for many years. He narrated a film about the 1955 World Series that we did for ESPN. And Eli was the narrator of the film because he loved baseball, and he also remembered those days very, very well. So,
in the world of baseball, and I think I asked you this one of the first times I had you on, of all the players that you interacted with, without getting real detailed, who was the most enjoyable, fun loving, and who may have been the more difficult to work with, from a pulling them out of getting them to converse and conversation and relax?
Well, I enjoyed the Minnesota Twins back in the championship teams, who really came out of nowhere and developed.
You're talking about the Kirby Puckett, that
Kirby
gang?
Kirby Puckett, those guys. Yeah, we did a lot of promotional stuff with them. You know, as working for Major League Baseball Productions, all the teams came to us to do various promotions and stuff. So we would get Kirby Puckett to dress up in a certain way for a certain promotion, and they were always happy to accommodate us, whatever creative idea we'd come up with. You know,
you guys were the pioneers for ESPN doing that then.
Yeah, we created content for ESPN too. We worked hand in hand with ESPN and on a lot of projects. And that was actually the popularity of that particular show, which I was a part of for a period of time. I mean, the show lasted for 30 years, so there were a lot of very talented people who worked on This Week in Baseball, including Mel Allen for most of that stretch. It was a memorable time.
Okay, so to get to the point where you were as authoring a book, how did that come about? Because that's not an easy task, and if you hadn't done it before, it had to have been quite a challenge.
No, it was a challenge. Yeah, I've done a lot of writing. I wrote scripts for television shows. So in other words, when Mel Allen showed up to do either a radio show or a television show, he wasn't involved in all the machinations of doing the show. So we would do all that heavy lifting, and we would have a script prepared for him. I would prepare a script when I worked with him, and he would come in and read my script, and we would debate certain things back and forth, and that's the way the production was done.
Well, I need to hire you as a producer for this show, because I'm all over the place. You probably look at this mess and go, how does he keep a show on the air?
But you're a talent. That's what I have to say, Mike. You're a talent. That's for sure.
Fumbling, stumbling, but we have a lot of fun.
Yeah.
So how did this all get? Who approached you to do the book?
Well, I had met Pat Donatelli in New York. And, I was a lifelong Mets fan. I still am a Mets fan, for good, the good, bad, and the ugly part of that.
You certainly had the ugly this year. Remember when we talked early in the season, you had high aspirations. These Mets, Cohen's a man. He's invested in the team. He's in for the long haul. And none of that came to fruition for your New York Mets.
It was a record-breaking payroll, and it broke no records.
It broke records for... It didn't break records for return on your investment, that's for sure.
Unfortunately, Buck Showalter took the brunt of that, but they suffered a lot of injuries and misfortune and bad seasons mixed in with that. And that's the beauty of baseball. You can have all these plans, but, the best laid plans sometimes go away when you get punched in the face, right?
Exactly. So let's with that statement, you're right. The season didn't go as anticipated. Let's examine this season, because it didn't go like anyone predicted or anyone thought, starting with the American League East. The heavyweights, Boston, New York Yankees, Toronto Blue Jays were kind of the pick in preseason to potentially win the World Series with that loaded lineup. So let's talk a little bit about how this season evolved, and we ended up with the Texas Rangers winning their first series in 51 years.
You know, a lot of it is getting hot at the right time, right? So in the beginning of the season, the Rays were unbelievably hot. They set records in terms of their wins, baseball season is so long, and so many things can happen in terms of injuries and so forth. But I think everyone was expecting the New York Yankees and the Toronto Blue Jays and the Baltimore Orioles to really be part of the mix in the American League East, and it never transpired. And I think injuries had partly to blame, and injuries derailed in a way the Rays season, right? I mean, all the injuries to the pitching staff really derailed them, and they ran into the Texas Rangers, who were, despite the fact that they had lost Jacob DeGrom, they somehow, had developed the mojo at the end of the season, trying just to get into the playoffs, and they wound up taking off. They didn't lose a single road game, Mike.
That is unbelievable. You know, and you take a look back at the Rays. You know, when you lose your ace, Sugar Shane McLaughlin, when you lose him, and then arguably your best player, with all the issues that the Franco's gone through and hopefully getting through, they've just made a move to.
You could say you lost your two best players, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you could say that.
And then you had a lot of offensive production that throughout the course of the year was down 4-6 weeks at a time. Other significant portions of your pitching. I mean, I think the year before you had 21 people in the IL. This year, all but 5 players on that roster at any given time went on the IL. That's unbelievable.
Yeah, and, what do you attribute that to? It's just bad luck, right? I mean, it's just guys get hurt. Luckily, the Rangers were able to prevail somehow, considering all that, and they were able to hang in there, And if you lose your ace, I mean, that could derail you forever. And not only did they lose their ace, they lost Rasmussen, they lost Springs, and still they were able to get into the playoffs for the fifth straight year. And
and you're probably wondering who Sugar Shane McLaughlin is. McClanahan. I have a friend. I do that so often. I got a friend up in Northwest Iowa, Shane and McLaughlin. It's hilarious. So let's talk about Major League Baseball's role. And I understand that you will understand this question. You mentioned the lowest watched World Series in history. Now, that's got to infuriate MLB and even the owners out there, because they make money off their TV rights. And you wonder sometimes if they're at home aggressively rooting for a major market club to make it to the series. They have to be. They want an L.A. They even a Houston would have helped out. They want a Boston. They want a Philly. And they got none of that this year.
No, that's really the bottom line. You need the major market to capture the major audience. But, I mean, at the end of the day, it was a very successful season for those guys, because they made a lot of changes this year. I mean, if you look at what they did in terms of the pitch clock and the enlarging of the bases, and they just really made a huge...
Did you like those changes?
You know, I did. And I think most people,
They're growing people.
Yeah, a lot of... Most time, people love the game from the way it was way back when, and they don't like stuff that gets changed. But as the season wore on, I think people appreciated the fact that the games were a little bit more tightly played. And so I think that was a successful aspect of the season.
You know, when you look at the change and the evolution of the game, And we could talk the demographics of it, but it's changed considerably. And the Latin flavor of the game is so prevalent today. We've lost a lot of the African American kids. This is a topic I wanted to discuss with you and with Peter Gollenbach, maybe on another show. But it's very prevalent when we're talking about who's watching the game, who are they trying to reach, and I think it's great for the game. But I also know that back in the day, I mean, Willie Mays is still to this day my favorite player. And you don't have those role models going out in the communities now in these urban cities in America promoting baseball or even seeing kids participate any longer. You think that can ever change again?
Well, usually in the world of sports, things do – what goes around comes around. Things change, you know. But you've got a lot of different sports these days that have attracted youth groups, including soccer and football, you know. So that's kind of pulled – a lot of talented young athletes away from baseball, but I think it's so fundamentally. There was a time when baseball was it, man. That was it. Like if you go back way back,
every corner. I mean, makeshift field here and there. People, guys playing catch, stick ball in the big cities, based around the fundamentals of baseball.
And you had this some popular figures that emerged like Babe Ruth, that drew interest from every little corner. People say, well, wow, what is this? And I think you do have so I would never say that baseball is in jeopardy, in my opinion. And guys like you and me, we look at it in terms of like, okay, it's a successful business and it makes more money than the NFL is top dog in terms of business, right? And baseball has dropped back because the NBA has made gains and so forth. There's no doubt about that. But I mean, I think it's so ingrained in the country that I think,
Is it safe to say it's not America's pastime any longer?
I think...
The younger demographic, it certainly isn't.
I would still give it that label, but I think for most people, football is the number one sport.
But during the fall, it's amazing how people do draw to watch the World Series in the playoffs. And I think that's great for the game. But I remember, that the names, Hammer and Hank, you had Say Hey Kid, all these great players' names, and now you they don't identify as they did in the past.
Yeah, it was a little, that's an interesting point because there was a lot of colorful creations out of, players' personalities were drawn forth. I think in an odd way, maybe that's not as prevalent today, I think that's an interesting point where, that's actually the genesis of shows like This Week in Baseball back in the day, that we would draw the personalities of the players forward. So people got to see that a little bit more in front of them. You have ESPN now, but it's more hardcore. It's not as, you have the personalities of the on-air people more than the personalities of the players, It's an interesting point.
Well, if you look at any Fox coverage, TBS, any of them, they typically have a who's who of pregame. You had Jeter, you got Rodriguez, you've got greats of the game, all talking about the game, but people not identifying the players on the field. You notice that?
Yeah, that's a great point because I think maybe the focus should go more toward that, but. The determination is that it's easier to bring the celebrities behind the mic in front of this, and do it that way. But I think you still get a dose of, if you watch MLB Network and things of that nature, you get a little bit of that. But that's a great point.
I saw something on MLB the last day or so, and the last 10 World Series, American League winning this year. It's actually 5-5, so that's good balance, and I'm sure both American League and the National League like that for Major League Baseball. But I wouldn't have thought of that.
So here's a point. I think a lot of the rules that have been put in that have made the game a little bit more fair in a way. You have umpire reviews and reviewing video, but. Believe it or not, I think some of that has taken away a little bit of the personality of the game. Because back in the day, you kind of had interest in seeing what Billy Martin would do when the call was wrong.
Oh, I loved it.
Yeah, and you'd get these big arguments that
Earl Weaver.
Right, people deemed that stuff. Maybe we could do without it, but actually that was color.
Personality.
Yeah, that was personality and color of the game that attracted people. Like, you wanted to see
throwing bases.
Yeah. So if you wanted to see Reggie Jackson get beat and you hated the Yankees, you wanted to go out and see him get beat, right? That was the thing that you wanted to see the guy who said he was the straw that stirred the drink get beat. So that was an attraction. It was a personality of the game.
Well, and the reality today's world, we live in a woke environment, as they say, and I think a lot of these athletes, they're almost corporations in their own right, so they've got to be very cautious of what they do, what they say,
yes,
their antics, if you will,
right,
because the team could feel repercussions due to sponsorship with
big
lines.
It's like,
and
wait,
that's ridiculous.
Yeah, they label the NFL the no fun league, right? Like, that's what that was. I think they know that. It actually does happen. You know, players are taught. You know, the proper way to answer certain questions. There are actually sessions where they learn that kind of stuff. You know, they had to deal with the media to not create controversy. Whereas in the past, maybe you had guys, you know, looking to make a name for themselves, they'd say something. It was more an attraction to them rather than the league. And now it's more like, oh, let's keep the players, you know, a little bit more. And the attraction is the game, not actually the players. And that hurts, because that's why Hollywood had the star system, right? Like, you had the big stars. You wanted to see the stars on the big screen, right? And that's what you want to do. So you want to push your
star. Well, that's how I feel about the Rays. They need to pick up, and Peter Gallenbach always brings this point up, how you put more butts in the seats. You have one or two people on your team that there's a name on the back of that jersey that they...
They're drawn to, yeah.
They're drawn to. Yeah.
That's true. I think... you know, either that, you can, you know, if you have a guy on your team who you can develop and turn into that also, you know, that's the thing too. If you have a guy who's like Corey Seager on your team, who's hitting all those home runs and is, you know.
What a story that young man is.
Oh, unbelievable.
Okay, so for Rays fans, before we're about at the top of the hour, for Rays fans, can they find any solace that they were beaten by the Texas Rangers? Can you go that route?
You know, I think the Rays have accomplished a lot of great things, and they continue to be very competitive in a very tough environment. But winning the World Series, man, like, people, like, it's the thing that you're supposed to do. It's hard. Look at all the teams that have never won. Texas Rangers have never won.
51 years.
They've been in baseball since the 60s, man. The Milwaukee Brewers have been around since the 60s. They've never won.
And my Cubs finally in 2016 got one.
Yeah, right. Yeah. It's not easy, bro.
Yeah. Hey, Jay Davis, we got a minute. You talked to us last week. He's my new right-hand man in the world of progressing the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection. A preview and a prediction on your Dogs as they take on the Missouri Tigers today.
Ooh, that's a good one. Thank you again for having me on here.
You got about 30 seconds.
30 seconds.
To do a promo for your Dogs.
The Dogs are going to take down Missouri today. They're at home. It's a homecoming game. It's going to be 30 to... It'll give them 14.
30 to 14. I've got predictions all over the map this morning, listening to all the talking heads, and they've got the Dogs in a runaway. John Bakia, thank you very much for coming down.
Oh, thank you for having me on.
It's always a pleasure. Jay, we'll be
really
talking.
Awesome.
We'll get you a spot next week. For Rowdy Soccer, Jim Hart, David Wilson, Brad Richardson, the youngster, Wyatt Ross, Eckerd Men's Basketball. I thoroughly enjoyed the Shortcrest kids coming over. I'm Mike Rickard. Matt on the controls, Joe Boudreau. Thanks for listening to Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection. Remember, have a fabulous weekend. God bless you. God bless America. And have a championship week.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3
Listen.